Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every day I will seek your face.
Thank you for tuning into YouSWAT Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leighbourne Brilliant.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of IT-market involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of LaVon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our Human Resource Office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. That number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's biblical focus group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, LaVon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/rgru. That's www.myspace.com/rgru. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
Well, hello there, YouSWAT listeners. This is Selena Olivia, president of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio, standing in again for Dr. Breland, host of YouSWAT Radio, and founder and CEO of Urban Glory Campaigns. Tonight is another night within the month of July for the Ministry of the Arts Notes for ministers of music and faith-based art professionals such as dance, music, and theater. This is a month of training for you, and PNW Sundays are designed to provide training and expression in regards to the worship leading for the praise teams of our churches, praise and worship leaders of our local church, of our local churches, as well as ministers of music, which there is a difference, and we've talked about that. Thursdays are designed to ensure that excellence and skill are added to the operations of our gift and music ministry. Tonight is Theory Thursdays, and we are tonight going to look from various sources, articles that talk about music industry, also an article by Jermaine Griggs, who is founder of Hear and Play, which I'm going to talk about in a few moments in the advertisement for Hear and Play. About practicing, which will be helpful to all of you, whether you're a dancer, whether you are a theater professional or thespian with THES, thespian, or if you are a musician or vocalist, you will benefit from this particular article, the 6 P's practicing. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about copyright, which is beneficial to those of us who are actually going to either are or going to contribute to the actual industry, music industry, gospel music industry. So we're going to talk on a few things of copyright. So we're going to talk about the music industry history and different facts about the music industry as a whole, as well as the 6 Cs of practicing. We're also going to talk about copyright. And I may be talking on some more dynamics of the 3 S's that we've been talking about, stage, skill, and spirit. Spirit being first, skill being second, and stage being third. But for the most part, we're going to deal with these articles tonight. Before we go into the discussion and the core of this broadcast, I want to refer to some announcements. Hear and Play Products are here, playing by ear tutorials on DVD and CD that have been created by Jermaine Griggs, who is a minister of music as well as music professional and businessman, along with colleagues of his in the California area and abroad. They've created these tutorials for our benefit. They are power-packed, knowledge-packed tutorials that are worth every penny, even worth more than the amount that they are, the amount of cost for each product. Check out remlyrics.webs.com, and we have some information there on Hear and Play Products, and you will find links to various various products within HearPlay.com that will be beneficial to you, whether you are a musician or a vocalist. And there are various music tutorials for different instruments. Piano, of course, voice is an instrument as well. Drum, there's also guitar. And piano is the more emphasized, but there are more and more products that are being added to the product list of HearandPlay.com for guitar, for drums, and for voice. They're more and more added consistently, weekly almost. So check out remlyrics.webs.com for information on the Hear and Play products. Also, BGJ Great's blog that has been launched a few months ago that gives credence or gives acknowledgement and honor to those who have contributed to the gospel music industry, such as Mahalia Jackson. We also we will be giving an acknowledgement to Mahalia Jackson in the very near week. And we've given credence to various artists. James Moore, the names are not coming to my mind right now. I apologize. James Moore, Reverend Timothy Wright. We also gave acknowledgement also to some, as we call them, new cats. Not necessarily new, but not legends of 30, 40 years. But Dietrich Haddon, Karen Clark's son, Karen Clark Shears' son, Jay Shears, as well as Kiki is in that video that is posted. There is a post recognizing Monique Walker and her new CD, Kirk Franklin. You'll find various names and various albums that are given credit as well. And as I've said in previous broadcasts, there are some posts that will involve secular artists simply because they are singing a gospel tune. But for the most part, there is and will be honoring to specifically toward those who have consistently contributed to the gospel music industry. I Need a Word single is available for download right now. Right now, I Need a Word is available for download now. For those of you who have not heard the song, you can go to myspace.com, Selena Olivia, and Selena Olivia is spelled S-U-L-E-N-A. Olivia is O-L-I-V-I-A. And you can hear a portion of that song, which in full version is available for download for 99 cents. Yes, 99 cents. The same price as a McDouble at McDonald's. You can get I Need a Word, a song that is ministered to thousands, actually. And you can have that for your own MP3 collection of gospel and inspirational songs. So download I Need a Word today. You can go to myface.com for Olivia, or you can go to Rhema Lyrics and find a link there. And the site that has that is of Rhema Lyrics, you can find information on how to download I Need a Word. Also, Faith in the Arts social network site will be launching in August 2009. Yes, Faith in the Arts social networking site, a site for you, music professionals, dance professionals, theater professionals. Faith in the Arts site is for you. That social network, you'll be able to create a member profile, and features will be added monthly for forums and different gadgets that you can use for your educational benefit, for your social benefit as far as the music industry is concerned, the arts industry, faith-based is concerned, information on different organizations for you, legal information, all types of information will be there for you. It's for you. There's so many sites that are dedicated to music professionals generally, but not for us, and this site is for you. And as the community grows, we'll get more and more features as you, the community, ask for it. So whatever you believe that you need, whatever you need, you let us know. Whatever you need, you let us know. This site is for you. Sign up is available now. You can contact us, rhemalyrics.poetic@gmail.com, or you can call us 641-715-3800, extension 957295, and leave your information. We'll contact you back with some information on how to sign up and any other information that you may need. Even prayer requests, you can call that number and leave prayer requests on there as well. So that's it for the announcements. We'll get right into today's broadcast. First, I want to start with the music industry. What I am reading to you and commenting on is actually cited from Wikipedia, which is online. It's the free encyclopedia online. Did some research concerning the music industry. I'm going to read from that information to you. The information will talk about the history of the music industry, the business structure of it, the statistics, the total value by country, album sales, market value, single sales, recorded music retail sales. It'll also talk about music industry organizations and more. So let's get started with this. We're going to talk about the music industry. This is a general aspect of the music industry. The music industry, or music business, in other words, sells compositions, recordings, and performances of music. That's a given. Among the many individuals and organizations that operate within the industry are the musicians who compose and perform the music, the companies and professionals who create and sell recorded music, for example, music publishers, producers, studios, engineers, record labels, retail and online music stores, performance rights organizations, and more. Those that present live music performances as well, such as booking agents, promoters, music venues, and the road crew. Professionals who assist musicians with their careers, talent managers, business managers, entertainment lawyers, and those who broadcast music, satellite and broadcast radio, as well as TV and streaming TV. Journalists, educators, music instrument manufacturers, as well as many others. Now, the history of music is this. In the late 19th century and early 20th century, the music industry was dominated by the publishers of sheet music. By mid-century, records had supplanted sheet music as the largest player in the music business. Since 2000, sales of recorded music have dropped off substantially, while live music has increased in importance. There are four major labels that dominate recorded music: Sony Music Entertainment, EMI, Universal Music Group, and Warner Music Group, each of which consists of many smaller companies and labels serving different regions and markets. The live music industry is dominated by Live Nation, the largest promoter and music venue owner. Live Nation is a former subsidiary of Clear Channel Communications, which is the largest owner of radio stations in the United States. Other important music industry companies include Creative Artists Agency, as manager a manager and booking company, and Apple Inc., which runs the world's largest music store, iTunes store, and sells the iPod and iPhone. Now we're going to go through a timeline and the status of the music industry in that particular timeline. The first timeline is 1700s and 1800s. Until the 1700s, the process of composition and printing of music was, for the most part, supported by patronage from aristocracies and churches. In the mid to late 1700s, performers and composers such as Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart began to seek commercial opportunities to market their music and performances to the general public. After Mozart's death, his wife, Constance Weber, continued the process of commercialization of his music through an unprecedented series of memorial concerts, selling his manuscripts and collaborating with her second husband, George Neeson, on a biography of Mozart. In the 1800s, the music industry was dominated by the cheap music publishers. In the United States, the music industry arose in tandem with the rise of blackface minstrelsy. The group of music publishers and songwriters which dominated popular music in the United States was known as Tin Pan Alley. In the early 20th century, the phonograph industry grew greatly in importance, and the record industry eventually replaced the sheet music publishers as the industry's largest force. A multitude of record labels came and went, but a handful of label corporations prospered for decades. By the end of the 1980s, the Big Six, which were EMI, Sony, BMG, Polygram, WBA, and MCA, dominated the industry. In mid-1998, Polygram merged into Universal Music Group, formerly MCA, dropping the leaders down to a Big Five. They became the Big Four in 2004 when Sony merged with BMG. Now, the timeline of the 2000s. The advent of file sharing technologies has changed the balance between record companies, songwriters, and performing artists. Bands such as Metallica have fought back against peer-to-peer programs such as the infamous Napster. Even they are not against file sharing now. And the arguments for and against technology to circumvent them, digital rights management systems, remain controversial. With the dawn of Apple Incorporated, iTunes online music store in 2003, legal music downloads became widely available. In the United States, income for 2008 from digital sales was small compared with analog, and music sales revenue was expected to decline to $9.2 billion in 2013 from $10.1 billion in 2008, while digital music may rise to half of total revenues by 2011. The business structure of the music industry is made up of various players, including individuals, companies, unions, not-for-profit associations, rights, collectives, and other bodies. Professional musicians, including band leaders, rhythm section members, musical ensembles, vocalists, conductors, composers, arrangers, and sound engineers, create sound recordings of music or perform live in venues ranging from small clubs to stadiums. Occasionally, professional musicians negotiate their wages, contractual conditions, and other conditions of work through musicians' unions or other guilds. Composers and songwriters write the music and lyrics to songs and other musical works, which are sold in print form as sheet music or scores by music publishers. Composers and performers get part of their income from writers' copyright collectives and performance rights organizations such as ASCAP and BMI, or MCPS and PRS, respectively, for the UK. These societies and collectives ensure that composers and performers are compensated when their works are used on the radio or TV or in film. When musicians and singers make a CD or DVD, the creative process is oftentimes coordinated by a record producer, whose role in The recording may range from suggesting songs and backing musicians to having a direct hands-on role in the studio, coaching singers, giving advice to session musicians on playing styles, and working with the senior sound engineer to shape the recorded sound through effects and mixing. Some professional musicians, bands, and singers are signed with record labels, which are companies which finance the recording process in return for part or full share of the rights in the recording. A record company is an entity that makes sound recording-related brands and trademarks, which consist of their own labels. They're owned and licensed master recordings and various related ancillary businesses such as home video and DVDs. Labels may comprise a record group, which is in turn controlled by a music group. As such, a larger umbrella label may have a number of sub-labels releasing music. Music publishers exist separately, even if sharing the same ultimate holding company or brand name, and they represent the rights and the compositions. Example, the music is written rather than recorded. Record companies and record labels that are not under the control of the big four music groups and music publishers that are not one of these four groups are generally considered to be independent or indie labels. Even if they are part of a large, well-financed corporation with complex structures, some music critics prefer to use the term indie label to refer to only those independent labels that adhere to the criteria of corporate structure and size. And some consider an indie label to be almost any label that releases non-mainstream music, regardless of its corporate structure. According to U.S. market research firm NPD Group, iTunes recently surpassed Walmart as America's largest music distributor. A record distributor is a company, often a record label, that works with record labels to promote and distribute their records, either in their home market or overseas. Once the CD is recorded, record distributor companies organize the shipping of the CDs to music stores and department stores. Record labels have used an A&R, artist and repertoire manager, to help develop the performing style bands and singers signed with the label. A&R managers may organize shared tours with similar bands or find playing opportunities for the label's groups, which will broaden their musical experience. For example, an A&R manager may decide to send an emerging young singer-songwriter with little live playing experience on a major tour with an established electric folk rock act from the same label so that this person will gain more confidence. When CDs sell in stores or on websites such as iTunes, part of the money is returned to the performers in the form of royalties. Most recordings only earn royalties for a short period after they are released, after which the song becomes part of the back catalog or library. A much smaller number of recordings have become classics with long-standing popularity, such as albums by the Beatles or the Rolling Stones. These albums have continued to earn royalties for the surviving band members decades after their original release date. Successful artists will hire a number of people from either field to assist them with their career. Their band manager oversees all aspects of an artist's career in exchange for a percentage of the artist's income. An entertainment lawyer assists them with the details of their contracts with record companies and other deals. A business manager handles financial transactions, taxes, and bookkeeping. A booking agency represents the artist to promoters, makes deals, and books performances. A travel agent makes travel arrangements. A road crew is a semi-permanent touring organization that travels with the artist. This is headed by a tour manager and includes staff to move equipment on and off stage, drive tour buses or vans, and do stage lighting, live sound reinforcement, and musical instrument tuning and maintenance. The tour manager's tasks can vary widely depending on the type of tour and where the group is playing. The tour manager's typical tasks of ensuring that hotel, restaurant, and travel arrangements are confirmed may expand into other tasks. If the venue where the band is playing does not have a certain does not have certain equipment, for example. If the venue lacks a grand piano or Hammond organ that the band needs for the show, the tour manager will be responsible for finding a rental instrument for the show and having it moved on stage as well. If a band member needs an emergency instrument repair, the tour manager and or the guitar tech will help to find a repair person or replacement instrument. The most high-profile celebrity performers may also have personal assistants, a chef, and bodyguards. Singers may hire a vocal coach to give them suggestions on how to take care of their voice or develop their singing range. You SWAT listeners, excuse me for one moment. I need to step out of the studio, and I'll be right back in about a minute. So go grab a drink of water. I'm going to do the same. Grab a snack or something, and I will be right back. Give me 1 minute. Okay, you SWAT listeners, I'm back. Now let's talk about the statistics of the music industry. I'm going to read this to my best ability as lively as possible. I know numbers can be boring, but it's important for us to get an overview. Okay, Nielsen SoundScan reported that the Big Four accounted for 81.87% of the U.S. music market in 2005. In 2004, 72.64%. Now, a breakdown of the 81.87% of the U.S. music market as of 2005 was this. Universal Music Group had 31.71%. Sony Music Entertainment, 25.61%. And Warner Music Group, 15%. EMI Group, 9.55%. Independent labels, 18.13%. In 2004, that 72.64 was broken down like this. Universal Music Group, 29.59%. Sony Music Entertainment, 28.46%. Warner Music Group, 14.68%. EMI Group, 9.91%. So there was a decrease for EMI. Increase for Warner Music Group. Independent label 17.36 in 2004. The next year, it raised to 18.13, so there's an increase in independent labels. The global market was estimated at 30 to 40 billion in 2004. The global market, so around the entire world. Total annual unit sales, such as CDs, music videos, and MP3s in 2004 was 3 billion. According to an IFPI report published in August 2005, the Big Four accounted for 71.7% of retail music sales. Sony Music Entertainment Group, 32.8%. Universal Music Group, 25.5%. EMI Group, 13.4%. Independent labels, 28.4%. Prior to December 1998, the industry was dominated by the Big Six. Sony Music and BMG had not yet merged, and PolyGram had not yet been absorbed into the Universal Music Group. After the PolyGram-Universal merger, the 1998 market shares reflected a Big Five, commanding 77.4% of the market. As follows, according to MEI World Report in 2000, Sony Music Entertainment, 28.8%, Universal Music Group, including PolyGram, 21.1%, EMI, 14.1%, Warner Music Group, 13.4%, Independent Labels, 22.6%. Now note, the IFPI and Nielsen SoundScan use different methodologies, which makes their figures difficult to compare casually and impossible to compare scientifically. So take that into consideration. Total value by country, United States is predominant. Canada has a small share. Mexico, about half the share that Canada does. Brazil, the same amount as Mexico. France is a larger. You can look on, you know what, in fact, I'm going to post this before this month is out. I'm going to post a link to this on the UFAR profile. Okay, and I'll definitely make sure that this is available within Faith in the Arts social network as well. This is important to read. And also, you know, Wikipedia is pretty reliable, as well as updates on a regular persons who contribute to it, who actually have to show proof and cite the sources that they receive the information from. According to the IFPI, more than 95% of total revenue from music in 2003 was derived from the 30 major countries in the proportions shown in the chart that's actually in this article, showing the United States a major part, Japan being a major part, and so on and so forth. Now, here's the breakdown of the country, okay? There are 20 total that are listed here. United States, 37% to 40%. This is, I believe this chart is supposedly of 2003. Okay. The span of 1990s to 2000s, okay? USA 37% to 40%, Japan 9% to 12%, UK 7% to 9%, Germany 7% to 8%, France 4.5% to 5.5%, Canada 2.6% to 3.3%, Australia 1.5% to 1.8%, Brazil 2.0% to 3.8%, Italy 1.7% to 2.0%, Spain 1.7% to 2.3%. Netherlands 1.2% to 1.8%, Mexico 1.1% to 4.6%, Belgium 0.7% to 0.8%, Switzerland 0.75% to 0.9%, Austria 0.5% to 0.7%, Russia 2.0% to 2.9%, Taiwan 0.9% to 1.6%, Argentina 0.5% to 0.7%. Denmark 0.45 to 0.65. Vast variety of percentages there. The United States, of course, holding the majority. Singles sales, physical single sales in the world in the 1900s, 2000s, and digital single sales in 2005 were as such. For Europe as a whole, 34% to 50%. UK 26% to 32%, Japan 4% to 25%, United States 14.5% to 16%, Germany 9% to 12%, France 4% to 12.5%, Australia 1.8% to 4.6%, Netherlands 1.3% to 1.7%, Belgium 0.8% to 1.8%, Sweden 0.6% to 0.96%. Switzerland 0.5% to 0.92%, Austria 0.58% to 0.82%, Italy 0.3% to 1.0%, Spain 0.3% to 0.7%, Norway 0.3% to 0.47%, Ireland 0.2% to 0.5%, 0.2% to 0.5%, not 2.5, but to 2.5, that range. Canada, 0.1% to 0.6%. Portugal, 0.01% to 1.0%. So 0.01% to 1%. Republic of Korea, 0.02% to 0.45%, New Zealand 0.19% to 0.29%, and Denmark 0.10% to 1.25. Recorded music retail sales. There's a chart here. It's a little lengthy and a little vast. So you'll be have a chance to read this article and look at this particular chart. But sales, music retail sales in 2005. The numbers are interesting, especially the breakdown of CD to DVD and then the total units, local currency, and then U.S. currency. Now, a list of music industry organizations are Academy of Country Music, a.k.a. ACM, Alliance of Artists and Recording Companies, a.k.a. AARC, American Association of Independent Music, a.k.a. A2IM, American Federation of Musicians, a.k.a. AFM, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, a.k.a. AFTRA, American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, a.k.a. or also known as ASCAP, S-C-A-P, Association of Independent Music, a.k.a. AIM, Australian Recording Industry Association, also known as ARIA, British Phonographic Industry, BPI, Broadcast Music Incorporated, a.k.a. BMI, and the list goes on. Now, the facts that were cited were cited from M. William Krasilovsky, that is a name, Sidney Chamel, John M. Gross, Jonathan Feinstein of This Business of Music, one of Billboard books, ISBN 0823-077-292. Some suggestions for further reading are Norman Lebrecht's When the Music Stops, Managers, Maestros, and the Corporate Murder of Classical Music. Also, Christian Imhorst, The Lost Generation of the Music Industry. Gerd Leonard, Music Like Water, The Invisible Music Ecosystem. The Message Reporter, Music Industry, Mrs. Mark with Wrongful Suits. That's found on messagereporter.com. Music Industry, in the 2000 overview put together by Disney University undergraduate students, that's at www.soc.duke.edu, and there is more. Okay, the last update for that particular article was June 22nd. I actually printed it the next day of 2009. So that's the last update of that particular article. There's some valuable facts and some numbers in there about the major recording labels such as Sony. Now, I know Sony has done a lot of contributing to the music industry, to the arts industry, period. Sony, for those of you who do not know, has actually been the funding source for the movies that Bishop Jakes has created, Women That Aren't Loose, as well as Not Easily Broken. So Sony actually has outstanding outreach to the faith community. For one reason, they realize that we are a major consumer base, so they figured they might as well, I mean, especially with the response that the Christian community and those who don't necessarily consider themselves Christians, how everyone responded to The Passion of the Christ, that movie. Sony woke up concerning that, because that movie was on the top as far as the box office is concerned. I don't remember the amount of ticket sales as far as box office is concerned, but all of us know that that movie was huge, Passion, so Sony, and along with some other media businesses or broadcasting businesses, woke up to that. So they livened up their music industry outreach, business outreach, that is, as well as TV and screen, film and screen. So that is awesome. We are in a prime time for us as Christians, that Hollywood is embracing of our story, what we want to see. We see that Tyler Perry is able to do what he has been doing on stages for years in Hollywood with the same type of effect, with the same type of acknowledgement of Jesus. I've heard so many times in his movies and in lines the name Jesus that is so, it's awesome to me that we are able to do that right now. So Sony, I know, has contributed a lot. I personally am registered with ASCAP, and I enjoy my membership. It's one of the biggest and greatest publishing companies. So that's enough of that. I want to go get right into this next article written by Jermaine Griggs, who referred to, and you'll see as I begin to read this article, he actually got a majority of this from a friend of his by the name of Alex Sampson, okay? The title of this article is, Are You Using the Six P's to Improving Your Practicing? I almost wanted to do, look at your neighbor, and say, are you using the six P's to improve your practicing? Let me get right into this article, though. Okay, there's a set of reminders that I got from a buddy of mine, Alex Sampson, that I want to share with you. This is the words of Jermaine Griggs, okay? I've added my own twist and explanations below. So Jermaine Griggs is actually, these are his words. If you've listened to the radio show before, you probably heard us talk about three P's already. Use these P's as a sort of litmus test to make sure you're taking full advantage of your practicing. Here they are. Your practice must be, number one, purposed, number two, planned, number three, pushed, number four, pumped, number five, patient, and six, persistent. Purpose, number one, it's impossible to reach for something without a clear vision of where you want to go. You can lollygag, but this isn't a good use of time and energy, and sadly, that's what most of us do. We pull out our instrument and lollygag aimlessly, hoping to get better. Instead, know clearly what you want from each practicing session. Write long-term goals. Break them into two smaller ones and then into digestible chunks so you can work on each during 30 to 90-minute practice periods. So here is a task for all of you. To know clearly what you want from each practicing session, do this. Write long-term goals, breaking them into smaller ones. So write a list of long-term goals. And then your second page would be those long-term goals broken down into smaller ones. So for each long-term goal that you've written, take another page and dedicate one page to each of those goals. And once you've dedicated a page to each of those goals, write down the smaller ones on that page. Stapling or attaching somehow the breakdown of the major goal into the smaller goals, attach it to the page for the major goal. Staple it, something. Tape it, clip it, something. Okay? Then do that for each goal, a major goal that you've set on that first page. Okay? So here's number two. Number two is planned. So number one is purpose. You must have an objective. We've talked about that in previous theory Thursdays. Objective-driven rehearsals. And it starts with you. It starts with you. In every practice that you have at home, whether you're a keyboardist, whether you're a dancer, you're dancing in front of the mirror, a body-size mirror, or if you're a theater professional and you are practicing your lines in front of a mirror, for the sake, all of us do this for the sake of glorifying God and getting a message across in each of the performance presentations that we do. We must have a purpose with each practice, always keeping what I just said in mind, that we're doing all of this ultimately for the glory of God, and so that the audience that is able to witness our presentations are actually edified by it in some way. So keep that overall objective in mind, along with the dynamic objectives that branch off from that. P number two, planned. Having purpose and vision is nothing if you don't take action by planning your practice. Studies show that when you carefully plan a routine activity like exercising or laundry days and do it as close to the same time every time, something special happens. You habitualize the activity, and it becomes a part of your life rather than a chore you have to do. So it actually becomes like blood flow to you. Okay? So after you've written out those major goals, those long-term goals and broken them down to smaller ones, take the time to actually plan out each rehearsal. Even if you don't know yet what day it's going to be, do a tentative template. For example, with my keyboard practicing, and my vocal practicing, I have a standard format of what I'm going to do in my practices. For keyboard, I do, first of all, I start out with therapeutic activity, meaning I condition my hands. I put heat to them, and the best heat is actually water pressure heat. So turning on warm, almost hot water and running it over my hands as I just let them loosely hang, okay? And then I turn them around where it can hit my palm, and I still leave my hands as relaxed as possible, allowing the water to beat on the muscles. This relaxes your hands, and following that, I then massage each hand with the other hand with lotion. Or I have a family member do it, but I usually do that myself and massage each hand. And as a massage, as we have the advantage and grace, I pray over my hands, praying in the spirit, and which is the perfect prayer. So my hands are being, the anointing is being stirred up in my hands, let alone them being physically conditioned. So that's what I do as far as therapeutic is concerned. So I start with therapeutic activity, which is conditioning my hands to be ready for practice. And then I do a couple of strengthening exercises just to get the muscles that have just been relaxed working a little bit. So So therapeutic activity, conditioning my hands, and then I do stretching. I take one hand, for example, my right hand, bring it over to my left hand, and starting with the pinky finger, I put my hand gently on the fingertip of my pinky finger and slide it back, bending it back slowly, gradually get to a point where I can feel the stretch in my forearm, hold it there for a few seconds, and then gradually let it back up. I do that with each finger on both hands. I do it a couple times to where there's a knowing in my heart, in my spirit that I can go on. Putting a second, like 10 seconds here, 5 seconds there, are not always accurate. So I try to stay away from that and just know when my hand is ready. You'll know when your hands are ready. You'll know when your voice is ready. You'll know when your muscles are stretched enough for you dancers or even theater professionals. You'll know when your facial muscles are ready. Now, there are some instructional articles out there from medical professionals that give you a certain amount of repetitions that you should do, a certain amount of minutes. By all means, if you are going by that article, go by it all the way. But me, personally, I don't limit the time factor to 10 seconds here, 5 seconds there. Sometimes there's one finger that is a little more stressed than the other, so it needs to be conditioned a little more. You understand what I'm saying? So be led by the Spirit. We have the Spirit as our guide in everything. So use that privilege in this process. So therapeutic activity, then I go to stretching. After I'm done the stretching, then I do the strengthening. One of the best strengthening exercises is a static strengthening exercise. For example, I'm actually sitting at a desk right now. And to do a static exercise for my hands would be to put my hand in a way as if I'm about to play a chord where all keys are evenly spaced apart, putting my fingertips on the desk and beginning to push gently with the muscles of my fingers, holding it down for a few seconds and then letting it up gradually and doing that a couple of times on each hand. So this is a strengthening exercise. Also, I do squeezing exercises. I put a soft, like, Nerf ball or Play-Doh will do well with this. Or even my forearm, the opposite forearm, for example, right now, taking your right hand, placing it right above your wrist where your muscle is, and you actually have cushion from your muscle, and just start to squeeze a little bit. Not too much where you're stopping the blood flow, but enough to where your hand, you can actually feel that the muscle is flexing. Do that, hold it for a couple of seconds, do that with the other hand. Go back and forth for a couple of times until your hands have that sensation where they are ready to work. So at the point where you know that you're ready to work, you get down, you get to the keyboard. You also should stretch your back, because the whole body actually is involved in piano practicing if you're doing it properly. Posture is important. It actually helps in the fluency of your playing. Also, having rest. Excuse my voice for being raspy. It is a little late right now. However, you need rest, and your posture needs to be on point. This is also with vocalists. This is also with dancers. This is also with theater persons. Your posture is not correct. Your voice sounds different. So when you go to say your lines, your voice may get to a raspy portion. It will take it to a raspy portion sooner than it would naturally because of being overused. There's a way of breathing for all of us, dancers, musicians, and theater professionals, because as you speak, and if you actually heard a change in my voice, I realized that I actually started getting lazy with it. There's a way to speak where you're lifting the soft palate that is at the top of your, at the roof of your mouth. And your voice raises or carries. Now, my voice is, I've been drinking water, but my voice is a little dry still because I'm getting to the point where I'm shutting down. I'm going to go to bed right after this broadcast. But if you heard the difference in my voice, what happened was I consciously lifted my soft palate, and with my breathing was particular and strategic with getting enough air to where I can speak using that air, using the power of air. At any rate, there's more dynamics to that. But if you look up vocal training, vocal education, vocal maintenance, things of that nature, even looking up vocal diagrams, you'll see the makeup of the vocals, of your voice, excuse me. The muscles, the larynx, where that is, all of that. You'll see the diagram, the setup of the voice. At any rate, all of us who sing, all of us who speak need that. As far as posture is concerned, all of us need that. Musicians, vocalists, dancers, and theater professionals. We all need posture, so that involves us regularly exercising, even our diet being better, drinking plenty of water, and more. I've only gotten the number 2 of the 6 Ds. Let me keep going because the commentary is getting a little lengthy. Pushed is number 3. Practice must also be pushed or challenged, he's saying. This means you have to get outside your comfort zone and challenge yourself. Most musicians want to merely rehearse what they already know. Why? Because of ego. I'm throwing that in there. Because of ego, comfort, feeling as if you have gotten to a place in your musicianship, because unless you have, it's that you're established. Because when we challenge ourselves, it's like, oh, I have something else to learn. I haven't arrived. It's okay. You haven't arrived. The only ones who have arrived are up with God right now in the heavenly places. So when it comes to anything, none of us have arrived yet. Some of us are at a more experienced level than others, and each of us are getting there. As we continue, we'll get there. But you have to push. You have to challenge yourself. Most musicians want to merely rehearse what they already know rather than push themselves to learn new stuff or new things, like playing in unfamiliar keys. First of all, keyboardists. This is something that I've actually learned within the last year, or I've actually pushed myself to do. I knew it before, but I actually became more real to me within the last year of being fluent in every key. So anything that I learn, if I learn a new chord progression, I take the steps to learn it in all 12 keys. All 12 keys, even E flat, which is one of the hardest ones. C sharp, well, for some people, C sharp is easy, but for different ones of us, depending on our hand structure and all that, a lot of times it determines what key is easier or more difficult for us. But we have to be fluent with our keys. I know technology is great, and I know that most keyboards, all of them actually, have the capability of transposing. Almost all of them. There are a couple that's out there that don't. But most of them have the capability to transpose. So you just hit a button, and it goes to the next key. But what happens if you practice the song in a key, and you forgot to put it back? You start playing a key in the choir, go to sing, y'all on two different keys. I've seen it happen. You have to be fluent. You've got to be fluent. You can't have that crutch of transposing with a button, okay? So push yourself. Another example is learning bigger chords that are hard to reach or weird or difficult for the fingers to play. It's something about harder things that is boring for musicians who fall into the rehearsal trance or rehearsal stagnation. They feel good knowing that they can play what they know. But when it comes to playing something that's challenging, if they can't do it in 5 minutes, that part of the practice is over. And we go right back to playing what we know. It's because it sounds good and we have control over it and it's not feeling like it's controlling us. Frustration factor is not there. We feel comfortable. All of that and more. Does this sound familiar? If so, make it one of your priorities to consciously keep practice pushed and watch how far you get. I want you to take the time on another piece of paper to write your strengths and weaknesses as far as you're practicing. When you begin to do some aspects of practicing, which ones you actually shy away from, or you're really frustrated at, which ones lose your attention easily, consider those factors and write things out. I want you to actually, those of you who have a journal, dedicate a journal specifically for these things. And those of you who do not, you can go to Books A Million. Even Walmart has some journals at a good price. Staples every once in a while has journals for just $5 of a good size and are leather bound, will last a long time. Go out, get a journal specifically for this. You have to invest into yourself as a music professional, as a arts professional. Dancers, I've actually taken some notes on dancing. I'm not a dancer. I do have an interest in it as far as observation, and I can choreograph. I have a little. But I've actually dedicated a journal specifically for dance. I have multiple journals for keyboard and voice, as well as songs. So as you aim to push your rehearsals, write out your strengths and weaknesses and work on your weaknesses and maintain your strengths. Number four, the fourth P is your practices must be pumped, meaning that there must be a high energy or motivation. Have a spirit of expectation, knowing that you're going to tackle something you've never tackled before because your practice will be pushed. Be excited about practicing. Don't look at the 30 to 90 minutes per day as a perfunctory task. Get pumped up. Change the association your mind has to practicing. In fact, it's the same thing as exercising. If the mind links that part of your exercise where you feel like you can't go on to pain, then the experience will be gruesome. But if your mind links that part of the exercise to triumph and overcoming this last part of the battle, then what would have been seen as pain is now a meaningful goal to reach. If you want to shatter the glass ceiling that's holding you back from getting to the next level, you must first get pumped or you won't build enough passionate momentum to ram through the glass. You'll end up with a big knot upside your head, as grandma said. These are the words of dream careers. Number five is patience. Results don't come overnight, but one thing that doesn't fail is that they come if you're patient. The master musicians didn't get there overnight. We see their glory, but don't understand their story. And that story is usually a story of patience. And patience takes faith. You have to be able to keep practicing, even though you may not see immediate results. You have to be able to know that they will come. Faith is believing what is to come. Faith is believing something that isn't quite there yet. Speaking those things which are not, acting on what has not actually manifested yet, but will manifest. Patience is key. Number six is persistence. Lastly, with your patience, you must come persistent. You have to stay on the course. This also goes hand in hand with planned practice. If you schedule every day at 7, then stick with every day at 7. Because when you break the pattern, then your mind will tell you to break it again and again and again. But something supernatural happens when you become more and more persistent. The mind almost does the opposite. For example, let's say that, say you've exercised nonstop 100 days in a row without breaking one single day. I mean, the same time, 6:30 a.m. every day, rain, sleet, or snow. What does the mind tell you when you have the slightest thought of not exercising the next day? It says, you mean to tell me you've done this nonstop for 100 days and you want to ruin everything and start all over? So compounding persistence works for you where inconsistency works against you. The more you break commitments, the more your mind tells you that you're not reliable and that you've broken times in the past, so why not this new one? Those are the P's with a few of my own few cents added. Hope you enjoy them. Until next time, is the words of Jermaine Green. The 6 P's of practicing. This is profitable for each of us in each of the various art venues, music, voice, dance, and theater. Posture is important. And all of these, well, that's actually a 7th P. Purpose, rehearsals, or practicing. Planned practicing, pushed or motivated practicing, pumped or motivated practicing, patience in your practicing, and persistence, not giving up. Those are the 6 P's to practicing. It actually has been an hour, and I wanted to spend an hour. In our next Dairy Thursday, I'm going to talk to you vocalists about some myths that are out there about vocal technique and maintenance. And we're also going to talk about what I thought we would talk about tonight on copyright. I'm going to just highlight some things because there's actually a lot to copywriting if you get into details, but we're going to go over the major, the main points of copywriting, what you need to know concerning copywriting when it comes to the song, whether it's lyric and sound, which is lyrics, how it should be copywritten, how you should copyright a sound copyright, registering your songs. We're going to talk about that on next Thursday. So that's it for tonight. I'm going to sign out tonight. I hope that you have been edified by what you've heard. We talked about the music industry tonight. We talked about the six C's to practicing, which applies to all of us. And we went also again over a little bit spirit, skill, and stage, the 3 S's of our artmanship, the categories that define who we are as a art professional, whether it's in dance, music as a musician or vocalist, or if we are in theater. It's important that we are balanced in each category. Spirit, being sound in our relationship with God, skill, being sound in our knowledge of our particular gift, and stage, being able to have an excellent presentation. So that's it for tonight. I thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. We will talk again on Sunday. And July is almost over. We're almost done with this series. I hope you enjoyed it. Please go back to the previous night and download. And give us some feedback. Rainbowcampaigns@gmail.com. Call us 641-715-3900, extension 661083. Give us your comments, even some suggestions. We also want to hear from you as far as prayer requests. We will pray for you. We already pray for you, and we'll pray for you more specifically as you communicate with us. So that's it for tonight, and I'll talk to you Sunday. Have a great night. Bye-bye.